Welcome to the Camp Minds podcast number 2, the one with the banjo. Today's episode features some discussion on fundraising and ways you can get your alumni involved, and we hope that you please stay tuned to the end for our picks of the week.
Okay, good day and welcome to the Camp Chat podcast for the first week of January 2010. The Camp Chat podcast is sponsored by Our Kids Media, and you can find us on the net at ourkids.net. And we're a company that produces, among other things, the Our Kids Go to Camp magazine. My name is Travis Allison, and I'd like to take this time to introduce our hosts, Gab Rail from Camp Waro, Dan Weir from the Frost Valley YMCA, and Joe Richards from the Pierce Williams Christian Center. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, so, how's it going?
Let's get to... I should have paused in the middle of that to let people know who your voices are. So, hey, Dan, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm okay. we're just discussing my gallbladder surgery before we came on to record this. So I am doing all right. And Joe, how's it going for you?
Things here are going well.
Good. And Gab, how was skiing?
Great. Thanks. Good.
I'm pretty jealous. Pretty jealous. So welcome to the second sort of official version of this podcast. We will be doing about a half hour recording today and putting it out just sort of loosely on our blog and some links on Twitter. And at this point, we're just looking for some feedback from some folks to get some started. Probably our next version that we'll record in 2 weeks will be our first official big launch thing, and we'll have, you know, official intros and outros and all that sort of stuff. But we have some stuff to present today about camp. This podcast is really focused for camp directors, and we have one retired camp director and three presently working camp directors on the cast, so we have some really neat stuff to talk about today. So I thought we'd start out today in the format that we've come up with. The thing we'd start out with is our links. And Dan, I wonder if you could start us off with the link that you have put up.
Sure. My link is to danpink.com, and it's the author Daniel Pink's blog. And basically, he's written about a whole bunch of different things. He has a new book out called Drive, which is about people's motivation and why people do things. But the book before he wrote was A Whole New Mind, which is Why Right-Brainers Will Rule the Future. And this is actually, the YMCA is taking a lot of their program design from this book, in the sense of really getting creative and making sure we're designing programs for people that need them, and trying to get health seekers in the door. So, his blog is just tons of great information and just little tidbits here and there of what you should be checking out and reading.
That's cool. Does anybody else read Dan's blog, Dan Pinkster's blog?
I have not, but I think that's something. I mean, I think that's what this podcast is about, is to get more, to exchange this information. So I'm definitely going to be checking it out.
Cool. Joe, have you read it?
Yeah, I haven't. No, I haven't read it. I do lots of sessions on creativity and thinking and camp, and it seems like it'd be right down a lot of the stuff we're working on at camp as well, which is how to make it more. Yeah, how to make it more accessible and not just come to camp. So, sounds good.
The big thing that I'm seeing a lot with the YMCA camping and just in general with it is that it's allowing people to create programs that people need, not just what they're saying. Because a lot of times when people say they want to do this, but they really are looking for something that is at a deeper level, and this kind of gets at that. And his blog just, you know, keeps you kind of focused in that sense.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I really like Dan Pink. One of his books that I really like is called The Adventures of Johnny Bunko and The Last Career Guide You'll Ever Need. It's a manga, so it's a comic book version of sort of a how to look for a job. And it was great. I loved it. I've given it to both my stepsons, who are Spencer's turning 20 in 6 months, and Andrew's in his 20s. And I've given it to both of them to read because I think it's an awesome idea, great way of thinking about presenting yourself for getting a job. So cool stuff about that. So I'm a fan of Daniel Pink's as well.
Hey, just a quick question. So Dan, have you read Drive?
No, I haven't yet. I definitely plan to.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's funny because I often think about books and are there illustrations? No, then I can download it to my iPhone.
Yeah.
There's definitely illustrations in this previous book, so that's possible there are.
Yeah. Well, great, Dan. That's awesome. Thank you. I put in a link that I thought was pretty awesome because I always had this idea, especially when we lived at camp, but even as an executive director, once I'd moved offsite, I often thought about those times when camp, which is sort of open in the winters, but only the office is open. There's no programming going at the Glenmore camp where I used to work. And so the driveway was plowed out and there'd be people in the office part-time plus whatever directors were around. But there's always times when camp was empty, and I often thought it'd be good if I could, when I was driving out, flick on something that would take a webcam picture of each vehicle that drove in and email me the license plates, and that sort of timestamped license plates, so I would know if something happened when we were away, who was on site. And so the link that I posted, it was to instructables.com, and we're actually going to come back to instructables near the end of the podcast, but this one is called The Twittering Laser Tripwire with Webcam Capture, and it was a cool instructable on how to build something that you would be set off by breaking a laser beam. It would then take a picture and then Twitter that picture, and wouldn't be exactly what I was looking for in that past thing, but still a pretty cool idea and good hack together, cheap security for camp, to my mind.
That's really useful.
It's a really great idea, and today, in fact, at our office, we're having a talk about strange things happening at camp, and I had to calm everyone down to say, no, there's no ghosts at camp, but, you know, that there's people's pajamas just showing up. And lights being left on in it. And someone said, it's like someone's living at camp and we can't find them. And true enough, if your camp's big enough, someone could probably hide fairly easily for a long time.
I agree.
And I have often thought, as someone who lives on site, that, you know, rather than having to go out and check every car that drives into camp, because we have trails that are open to the public year-round, that this system... and I saw this, it was last week or a couple of weeks ago when someone Twittered about it. And then there's also, they make deer cams. Have you seen those where a deer cam is set off by a motion detector?
My uncle just got one of those.
My brother-in-law has one.
And I thought that would be great to set up, but the key is that you want to get the license plate. Because I don't care if I get them, you know, emailed or faxed to me, but it is a great idea. I just want to know if there was a problem that I can go back and say, okay, this was the last car in. So.
Yep. Gab, do you think it would work for you folks too?
I think that, I'm just thinking about it. My parents live on camp and we own the camp as a family. And I think my father does what he can do to make himself as intimidating as possible. So during the summertime, the camp is very welcoming and please come on in. And then during the wintertime, you know, we park the old rusted truck at the at the front of the highway, and there's like signs everywhere. And I think that's a really nice, I mean, just for them to leave over the weekend. There's a little bit of anxiety that builds up because you don't know who's going in, and there's a lot of valuable stuff that can't be replaced, and just sort of a peace of mind. I think that's really I'm definitely going to look into that. That's really neat.
Nice.
Dan, is there always somebody on site at Frost Valley?
Yeah, Frost Valley is definitely kind of a mini metropolis in that sense. We have 35,000 people up a year, so it's. I think last year the only days we didn't have people up were Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and so, right. You know, it was. I think it would be great, and definitely to know who was on property, but I think also email would crash from all the photos that, you know, of all the people coming in, so.
That's a good point. Speaking of living on site, Joe, and your staff's fears of that, did anybody see that article? It was out before Christmas, sort of the beginning of December, about a guy in an apartment in New York, and he set up
a
kitchen and found that there's a woman living in this freaky storage space above his entrance, above his fridge. It was the most terrifying video I have ever seen.
That's just like the movie Real Genius with Val Kilmer, and there's some guy that lives in their closet.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
That's all you need to tell your staff to really wake them out.
Yep.
Just as a side note, going back to Daniel Pink for a second, apparently you can download The Adventures of Johnny Bucko on an iPhone. I just don't know what it would look like.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure the pictures would be small, but is it a paid option? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, Joe? It's paid. I use e-reader. I'm a good boy. I pay for most of my stuff.
Yep. Gab or Joe, either of you have some quick links, or so I have one more before we move on to our discussion, but I just want to check and see if either of you had something.
I like lynda.com. So I'm not quite sure if we talked about this last week, but it's just something I've discovered in the past couple of months, and it's a site to help with your computer programs. Might be a Mac or a PC, but basically whatever program you have, or maybe you want to design a business card, they take you step by step through video tutorials, and it's Lynda with a Y, and it's very, very well done, and you can even look at some of the stuff is already free, but you can also pay. I'm paying right now about $30-some-odd a month to just use it open-endedly, and it's helped me out so far, and I've really learned a lot instead of sort of sifting through all of the information online through blogs and all of this. Lynda.com has been quite helpful, and I sent the link to Joe because I think you want to set up an app for your iPhone. So
I do want to set up an app, and the one thing about Lynda, another camp director had told me that if you use Firefox and install Monkey,
Grease Monkey,
you can actually, and I don't know who's going to listen to this, but you can actually download the videos, not just use them at Lynda. So, like, he got a 3-month subscription and then realized, you know, he wasn't using it quite as much as he wanted to, and then he downloaded, like 120 of the tutorials. But, you know, who listens to us?
I hope Lynda's not listening.
That's beauty one, Gab. Thank you.
Yeah.
Quick link, Joe, or should we move on to the one?
My quick links right now revolve around banjo music. So I'm just learning. It's funny. I'm learning how to play the banjo after playing guitar for 20 years. Yep. And have realized that online has made this so different. Like Lynda.com, there's a renowned banjo artist, Tony Chakera, who has a whole banjo school online. Same thing for $60, it's unlimited use. I'm just amazed at how we can find free stuff to learn online, and how you do that with, I've been trying to figure out how to do that with staff training without paying the people who want money for training sessions.
Like Leadership Essentials.
Yeah. Joe, do you find that you're having a hard time learning how to finger pick differently?
No, I found that because I know how to play guitar, I know a stringed instrument. It's just it's teaching my fingers how to chord differently. And I never really taught myself finger picking on the guitar. Like, I would fake finger pick, you know, just strike whatever. With banjo, there's very specific roles. And right. So learning those hasn't been, you know, my banjo teacher, I go to a guy close by and he said, you know, I've been there for two lessons and I'm already at where he normally would be at lesson 10 with someone who started from scratch. So I think I think guitar has given a really great advantage to picking it up. So.
Very cool. Well, I have one quick link and I'll just sort of throw it out there. It's from MailChimp.com, and I'll put the link in for you folks because I realized I didn't put it in the show notes. And then for the listeners, you'll have a link to this. And it's a quick page called Email Marketing Benchmarks for Small Businesses. And something I've learned a lot about in my job at ArcKids is about email newsletters. We sort of did it ad hoc when I was at camp 3 years ago. And camp moved on to paying Constant Contact for email service, but I never really felt like anyone had sort of sat down and figured it out. So I've had to do a lot of that learning in my job. And there's some great ideas and just some good stats if you're into numbers about, you know, who opens what emails and what makes people read through email newsletters. And I think that that's certainly a thing that the camps are doing more and more. I'm sure most camps are doing some controlled paid service for emails and for email newsletters, and this is just a good quick read for when you're thinking about writing those.
Great.
I actually used to work for an internet advertising firm prior to getting into camping, and I'll keep them nameless because I don't want to talk about all the spam I sent when I worked for them, but it's amazing to, you know, it's an amazing service if you do it right and if you actually, you know, stay within people's attention spans and don't come off as annoying, what it could actually do for your business.
Yeah. And Dan, you have a service that you really like, because I've asked you offline at this podcast, I've asked you for a recommendation. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. It's myemma.com, and basically, Emma is it's a email service towards nonprofits, and it makes it very easy. And the whole thing about email marketing, in the States at least, that's you have to be concerned about is the Canned Spam Act. And so when I actually worked for this internet advertising firm, I had to read this whole thing, and it, you know, there's some pretty heavy fines intertwined if you're emailing people that don't want to be emailed. And there's also some pretty fine lines of, you know, if people want to subscribe and if people don't want to be part of your newsletter anymore, but they still want to get your brochure, and like, there's, you know, a world of things that you could run into if you're not using a service like this. So it kind of manages all that stuff and allows us to kind of track the stats as well too. And my whole thing is, you know, with building stuff here, like, I want to make sure if I ever leave that, you know, like, that they'll be fine and it'll keep on going. And that's one of the services I really like, that almost anyone can kind of pick up, is myemma.com.
Cool. Do either of you use a paid service to manage newsletters?
No, I mean, you mean somebody that designs it for you, or just?
Well, not like, even design, but to manage the people, you know, unsubscribing and that sort of stuff, manage your mailing list for a newsletter. I don't know.
Right.
Either of you paid for that.
I've looked at MailChimp before, so I think we might, just for the aesthetics, we might be going that way as well.
I don't have anyone. We're in the midst of starting a major fundraising campaign, and I've thought about it, and I just, there's the program I use for my website, which is Joomla. There's extensions which allow you to do email marketing through your website, and manage all of those things on the Joomla web service. So, which is free, which is no cost. So, things like that, I just haven't gotten around to.
Cool. Well, thanks for the recommendation, Dan. That's a great one.
Yeah, no problem.
So I think we'll move on into the discussion. I'm conscious of the time. We're pretty chatty today. So, you know, 5 or 6 minutes on the discussion should be enough to sort of get some cool ideas out. Dan, can you open us up here and tell us what we're going to talk about today?
Sure. It's based off an article that was written just before the holidays. And the title of the article is South River Man Raises Money for a Scholarship to the YMCA Summer Camp. And basically, it's an article about a gentleman that's an alumni for the camp I work at, Frost Valley YMCA. And this guy decided on his own to have a fundraiser for a campership, for a scholarship for a child to come to camp. And he, with doing this, he got the support of the local school. The mayor invited him to address the borough council. And just, it was amazing to kind of, when we were reading this, you know, so much, you know, we think of alumni and development as just getting money from people. But and here it's actually, you know, this person's taking the ownership of raising the money as well. And it's exposing more people to our camp and our cause. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of thinking about, you know, is your camp doing everything not only to kind of get people connected to it, but to make them feel empowered to go connect to other people.
It's a really great discussion point, and one of the things, if you have a camp and a camp community that does have people going out and doing that on their own, it's a good thing. But what I found when I arrived here is it can also be a very fine line between you knowing as a camp that someone is doing it and you not knowing. And then when you go and put your hand out and ask for money, they'll be like, well, we just gave to this person who was sending kids to camp, to your camp.
All right.
And you didn't know.
Yeah. Right.
So for this story, Dan, this guy was doing it without specifically speaking to folks. It turned out fine, right? But he didn't know that it was coming.
He is part of the Alumni Association, and so he's been talking to our development director. At the same point in time, a lot of, you know, our camp's a little bit large with the staff, and so it wasn't aware to everybody involved as well, too. So people knew about it in that sense, but this was something he took on his initiative. It wasn't like we went out to people and said, if you want to do your own fundraiser, you know, go ahead.
Right. And Gab, you were starting to tell us before we were recording that you folks as a private camp are starting to look into ways to do more fundraising of the same sort yourself.
Yeah, for us, we are private, and we do have a campership, so for people to donate money and to send kids to camp. What I like about this article really is, and I don't think it occurs to many camps to maybe ask alumni and ask other companies to perhaps, you know, do the fundraising, get that message out, you know, what camp does for our kids. And we're certainly right now in the brainstorming phases of not how to not just tap into our alumni source financially, but how can we tap into them on a more support sense and you know, message building sense. So we're looking at building a fund to help young women with leadership skills, and that's what we're looking into, and we're hoping that that's going to touch the hearts of a lot of our alumni to not just go into their wallets, but maybe even speak about the importance of women learning about leadership and using those leadership for themselves in the future. So it's a very interesting process trying to build a foundation, though.
Yes, I'm sure it is. I've been through that myself.
Yeah.
So, Joe, how do you folks handle fundraising with, like, how did you get past that, which, you know, the situation that you came into when you started there?
Well, one of the first things, the trick is that for anybody showing up somewhere new, it's really trying to take it all in, and it was one of those things where people kept saying, okay, well, the problem, and I would ask people what they thought about Pierce, and what they would say is, well, they always have their hand out. And I, because we would have four dinners a year, four fundraising dinners a year, plus there would be camp people who wanted to host special events at their church. Plus, there would be people who every church would do fundraising for their own internal bursary fund, yet call it for Pierce Williams. And so the way we handled it is sort of we talked to all of the churches and all of our reps and just went to a, you know, let us know what you're doing so that we're not being exposed in a negative light to people, because we don't want to ask someone if they were just asked last week to give. Yeah. And now we have a much more concise, because it's just a plan, right? Have a plan and work the plan. And if you get your people on board, your representatives elsewhere on board, they know what the plan is and they can build with that. So we have found that what we love about our alumni is, A, we don't need to set up a foundation to give a tax receipt, because we're a charitable organization. So we're really pushing the monthly giving. You know, the small sort of grassroots campaign of having, you know, start with 10 people giving 10 bucks a month and then, you know, move that up to 50 people, to 100 people. And our goal currently is 1,000 people giving at least on average $5 a month. So, which would help in numerous ways at camp and make us sustainable long term.
And how do you do the payment plan if it's sort of a monthly?
Well, we're part of the United Church of Canada, and so what the United Church of Canada has a monthly giving program set up called PAR, Pre-Authorized Remittance. And so the way that, and this is only if you're a United Church camp, you sign people up through the PAR program. The fee is 50 cents. Per person, per donation, like per month, up to 90 people. So it can never go, your fee never goes above $45.
Okay.
So if you have 1,000 people, you're going to pay a $45 admin fee and you're going to get your 1,000 donations. And you can do it through CanadaHelps.org if you're a Canadian camp. They have a monthly giving program, but theirs is based on doing it through credit card transactions. But then the benefit of that is Canada Helps sends out the tax receipt. You don't need to send out the tax receipt from your own facility. You need to be a registered charity.
Right.
But you don't send out the tax receipt.
Yeah.
So Dan, do you folks have more alumni doing, like, has this guy inspired other alumni to take on special projects for you?
It definitely, you know, anytime we were able to send an article like this out to our alumni association, it definitely spikes an interest of people wanting to get more involved. So there hasn't been many more people that are like, oh, you know, we want to do the same thing. But, you know, definitely people that want to get more involved of either coming up back for a volunteer weekend or wanting to be present in some way.
Cool. That's very cool. Well, yeah, congratulations on the article. It's a great one, and it's neat to see that Frost Valley in the news, and that this is working well for you.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Good. Well, I think at this point we could probably move on to our picks of the week, and this point in the podcast is where we each present something that is sort of simple, really quick, and infinitely useful for a camp director.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sort of have one, and we'll go through those in order. And Joe, why don't you start us off with yours?
For sure. My pick of the week this week is it's something called the Tumbleweed House Company. Essentially, it's small, it's tiny houses, not small houses, it's tiny houses, and it's, I follow a lot of design blogs, just out of personal interest, and came across this one day and thought to myself, this is awesome. It's awesome because he sells houses as small as 65 square feet, plans for houses, which doesn't meet code in lots of places, for campers, but the concept for me was thinking of it in terms of a staff cabin. Thinking of it in terms of we have this project on site that we want to get off where we allow local ministers to come and have a retreat, a place where they can sort of do a solo by themselves, and a building like this would be great because you can. He builds these small houses on wheels, which gets you around lots of bylaws and things. And we could move them around. But at camp, think about it. You could move your staff accommodation around, you know, park them in a barn for the winter. And for the hermitage idea, where you have a local minister doing a solo, you can literally park this puppy, you know, in the middle of your woods, pull it in with a gator, and they can be by themselves. So I'm attending a workshop in Toronto next July on how to build them and design them. So
I would love to hear about that. I could just picture with camp, though, I picture people racing them, you know, like picking them up to the horses and getting them going.
Well, it's weird because I've often thought that when I arrived at camp, what we had for staff accommodation was these old 60s and 70s small trailers, you know, the small pull-behind trailers, not pop-up tent trailers, but like the squat ones. And they would literally roll them out into camp for the summer.
Right.
And so when rental groups came to rent us, it just looked like we were a junkyard. And right now we have two fifth-wheel trailers parked sort of around some of our buildings. And they're out of the way and they're non-obtrusive. But this idea makes a lot more sense to me. Jay Schaefer is the name of the guy who wrote the book. It's called The Small House Book. I got a free copy with my registration. But it's fascinating. I'm trying to talk my wife into the idea that we don't need a big house when we leave here. I'm not sure she's into 65 square feet.
That may all depend on whether or not your kids are off to college.
True enough. True
enough. Build them a small house.
And I talked with our local building inspector. I was going in about something else, and so in our municipality, the smallest house you're allowed to build is 802 square feet. You're not allowed to build a house smaller than that.
Huh.
And that's this guy's book goes over the fact that that is just the industry wanting people to build bigger houses. Because there's no reason that a single person would need 802 square feet.
Right.
So, no.
Unless you want a walk-in closet. And then as a single, I would want something bigger for my walk-in.
It could be your walk-in closet, though.
That could. That's a good point.
Be a walk-in closet on wheels.
Yeah, you could get the Bernhard house that has space for a walk-in closet. I'm looking at the plans right now.
With the craft
room.
The concept of camp is
you don't need, in the real world, you would need to put a lot of these up on wheels to get around bylaws. At camp, you're sort of exempt from a wide variety of bylaws in your municipality. You should check that first. Don't trust Joe. We could essentially build, you know, a row of these. But I love the idea of putting them on wheels and having them be movable, yet, as Dan said, to get away from people racing them, firmly in place when they're set in place.
Joe's got some great big hills at his place. It'd be amazing to race tiny houses down.
This is going to pop
even
up on YouTube.
Just for the pictures, yeah.
Yeah. Dan, what's your pick?
My pick is smugmug.com, and basically it's a photo hosting website, and it is a pay site, so you do have to pay for it. There's three different tiers of it, but we have the middle tier here. It's the power tier, and basically we have unlimited storage and unlimited bandwidth as well too, and just with the amount of parents that check out photos during the summer, we were previously with Bunk One, and we got to a point where we felt that the way the photo site was going, that we could have done a better job out of house. And so, we loved it, and we could password protect the galleries, so that way, you know, you can have one public, or you can have one that, you know, is just a different password for each group, or, you know, various different things. And we actually, you know, we really tested the limits of what we could do, and we have over 18,000 photos uploaded and 11 gigs, and we had no problems at all. Nobody contacted us and said using too much bandwidth or anything like that. But I just loved it because parents could leave comments, and you could comment right underneath. And some of the photo services other ones are starting to do that now as well too. But just we have had nothing but ease with Smug Mug, and I know people sometimes look for alternatives outside the Bunk One eCamp stuff that's offered.
Cool.
So just I use Flickr. I did a project a couple of years ago where I took 100 photos a day every day for 1 year. And so I have many more than 18,000 photos.
Oh, wow.
But my question would be, what is the, like, is, so there's no ads on it, but it, and can you set up the pages to be viewed however you want them? Like, Flickr is a fairly, you know, limited setup, and you see, yeah, it's still a paid service.
Design-wise, you could do anything you want. And the thing, I love Flickr for my personal use, and Picasa, Google's photo service as well too. But with our camp, you know, there's definitely a concern of people being able to view the photos that are not part of the family, and so a lot of our galleries are password protected, and so the big drug, the Smug Mug, was, I mean, big draw, sorry, was that. It was so easy to password protect everything, and that we could easily control it. And with Flickr, you know, I looked all over the site, and like, you could password protect some part, you can make private, and then you can invite people. But, you know, with, you know, so many parents trying to access photos, I want something where I could make it universal and just email everybody and say, this is how it is, instead of, you know, going back and forth and adding people.
And so at that point, Dan, you don't care as a camp if they share that password with, you know, their with uncles and aunts and grandparents.
Yeah, no, we look at that. That's fine. That's, you know, that's them sharing it. It's taking the liability off of us a little bit. We only give the password out on the first day of camp when they come, or they actually have to call my office, and then we have somebody that's just answering the phones that can look up a name and, you know, give them the password if they're approved.
Well, so you don't mail it out to everyone.
We email it as well too, but, you know, people lose stuff and
right. All
that sort of thing.
And I think when I left camping, I left to go into photography full time, and it's been amazing to me how much Smug Mug has grown in the last 3 years, in terms of really drawing in to professional photographers, and so that automatically gives them a lot of my respect, because they've done a lot to make the site customizable so it can fit into your own website design. And they offer a lot of features at their different levels,
yeah,
the different payment levels, that are just amazing in terms of control and hosting. And you can also host HD video on Smug Mug.
Yeah,
that's
and,
cool.
So, you know, as HD video becomes more and more accessible, and camps are thinking more and more about the value of video, Smug Mug's a great hosting thing that'll allow you to, you know, give you an embed situation, or an embed solution, so you can have people post your videos across the web, where, you know, you sort of control it all through your Smug Mug account. So I think that was a great pick, Dan. Smug Mug's doing some great stuff.
Yeah. One other thing I love about it is, you know, for us, our parents want to be able to buy the photos, and we used to send home cabin photos every summer, and what we've actually done now is we instead make sure to get a cabin photo uploaded within 24 hours of their kid being here, and that way they can purchase the cabin photo on their own. And the difference between the Power and the Pro account is the Power, you know, like, they purchase the photos, and, you know, you don't see any money when you do that. But if you do the Pro, you can mark up the photos, like, you know, 10 cents a photo, and then you get that money back. And you know, and that's something we're considering upgrading to the Pro account for next year.
Well, that's brilliant, because you wouldn't have to sell many pictures to make up the extra...
Yeah, and pay for the service completely.
$90 or whatever.
Do you get any parents that contact you and say, you know, how come Sally's not on the pictures as much as Timmy, and you know, that, or do you upload so many pictures a day that there's rarely any complaint about, you know?
Oh, no, not with our parents. You know, they definitely, you know, they can never see enough of their child is the way I phrase it.
Right.
And so you know, they're, you know, occasionally we get those parents, and often that's more of a response from either me or my assistant. In the sense of, you know, taking a photo of them and giving them a little more of an update of like, oh, just so you know, they're doing really well. Like, you know, I had one child, my favorite was this child didn't, you know, doesn't like being photographed. And mom knew this, but mom didn't want to tell me that. So when I went to go follow up with the child of like, you know, how come you're not in the photo? Can I take a photo of you? He immediately covered up his face completely. It was like, no, I hate photos. My mom knows this. So like I had him, like his face completely covered, his whole cabin group like hanging out with him. And I emailed the photo to mom being like, oh yeah, he's doing great. But just so you know, this is the only photo I could get out of him. And mom wrote back of, oh yeah, that's my son. That's him. You know? And so like, you know, it's just one of those things where like, she was almost kind of like testing me to see how well I knew her child in some sense.
Right.
And
you
and,
passed.
It worked out. Yeah, I did pass, yeah. Luckily. So it was pretty funny.
That's neat. I think that, I mean, we don't put out pictures for our parents, and I'll never say never with that, but definitely sort of our slideshow at the end of the summer and cabin pictures and giving the opportunity for parents maybe to purchase that at the end of the summer, I think is really nice. So I don't know. That's very cool. And does that mean that you can upload a video almost at any gigabytes or, you know, how heavy it is? Does that basically you can upload almost anything?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's
cool. I've uploaded a few. But the thing with video, too, is, you know, then you start getting into, oh, there's not enough video of my child. And so, like, we're trying to, like, slow that down a little as well, too.
Yeah.
So.
Right. That's so neat.
But, yeah, in terms of uploading video to SmugMug with the right account, and I don't know the levels of the accounts, but with the right account, you can upload full 1080p HD video, which would be, you know, movie theater quality.
Yeah.
Which would be unnecessary.
You don't want the little video I took with my flip camera in HD and up everywhere, you know.
Oh, that's good. Well, thanks, Dan, for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, no problem.
And maybe we should write that down and think about talking about photos, taking photos of kids in terms of the discussion. There's some sort of ethical ramifications of that decision, and I think we've all probably had to sit down and figure out how we feel about posting pictures of our campers,
right.
And sort of what we tell parents and what parents sign up for. So that's an interesting future discussion, I think. I know that Gab hired someone last summer to just be their photographer, and you're planning on doing that again for this year.
Yeah, definitely. More people.
So someone's job to sort of make sure that every kid gets photographed and the pictures get sent.
Yep.
Cool. Yep. So I'd like to talk about that a bit more in the future. My pick of the week this week is Instructables. I said we're going to come back to that. So that's at Instructables.com. And Instructables has little hacks and tricks and things you could build in your basement or the shop at camp that are everything. They have instructions on everything. And there's lots of cool stuff like games and things that you can build for camp. And I have lots of highlights, but when I put in camp into the search, I found a few things that I thought were funny, cute, and useful. So there's an instructable on how to start your own summer camp that somebody started a camp and basically made notes of everything and posted it all to Instructables. There's an Instructable on how to build replacement tent parts, how to build your own ladder golf, which I haven't heard of ladder golf very much up in Canada, but I've seen it in different websites in the States. And my dad goes to Florida for 6 months every year, and I know that they play ladder golf down there. And so there's a way to build that for almost nothing, because they're talking about professional sets of ladder golf you buy for $140. You could build for 10. And there's even an instructable on something that's that we as a company that our kids talks about quite often. We answer a lot of parent questions, and one thing that we get all the time is like, how do I decide on what camp is best for my kid?
Yeah.
And there's an instructable for that too. So you can go to Instructables, or you could go to ourkids.net and look up that answer. But Those are some of the things I found when I searched for camp and instructables.
Nice.
I just love the arts and crafts ideas you get from it alone.
Yes, yes, yes. And Joe, Instructables seems to me like it's your kind of website.
It is. I've built 8 or 9 sets of ladder golf. I found out about it at Buckeye a few years ago at Buckeye Leadership Workshop. And I love Instructables. Like I was the other day, for some reason I got it in my head that what we need at camp is a trebuchet. And I thought, no, that's what we need. And now the decision is, what are we going to throw with it so I can build it to the correct size? And I thought if I could throw a picnic table with a trebuchet, I would be all set.
If you could just link that to the webcam with the laser and taking the picture, it would be all set perfect to go.
No, I love Instructables. Some of the great things, I'm not sure if you've signed up as a member, but if you're a member of Instructables, you can download the PDF of them, which is great. I'm not sure if that's a paid service now. I was never sure if they all of a sudden made it paid, but I've been a member for years and have built lots of things that work and lots of things that don't work from Instructables. So.
Yep, I have a membership too, and I didn't pay for it, so I had it quite a while ago. I don't know. I think it's free, to tell you the truth.
I have a free account with them as well. I get knitting patterns from there, so.
Yeah. Right on.
Cool. Gab, you have an update, or you have a website from last, that you picked from the last one, and do you have another pick that you've come up with?
I do have a pick of the week. Mine's basically just to sort of help out at camp shows, but I built a little mini book using my iPhoto, and there's a little, if you have a Mac or if you have any staff members 25 or under, you're gonna find somebody that has a Mac, and on that Mac there's iPhoto, and you can make a book using your camp pictures. And it just looks really, really professional. And so what we've done is we've made a bunch of these little books. You can choose, different sizes and how many pages. But sort of just make your own little camp story with it. So in our case, our kids sleep in tents or in cabins. And so we start off right away with this is where you could stay in either a tent or in a cabin, and this is where you'd eat. And you sort of flip through this book, and we... At our sort of camp booth for campfares, we have our video playing, and we have a slideshow, and we have brochures. But I've had such great feedback from parents where I just sort of take this book aside, and I printed up a couple of these, and I just flip through the book with the kids, and parents are really impressed with just how professional it looks, and they can really see the pictures, and they can touch the book, and we also send it out to alumni. We just print out these books and we send them out to alumni that might be hosting, a family that's interested in coming and sort of to go through it with them. So, it's just in your iPhoto under keepsakes, and you can make a book, you order it, and then it comes to you in 10 days after you order it. And you can add little words and a different design if you want. And it's been very useful for us. So,
nice.
That little book is quite awesome.
Can you put it up for sale on that website you order it from?
I don't think so. You need a Mac account, but...
There are lots of... I've used blurb.com,
yeah.
B-L-U-R-B, and you can literally make a book and then leave it up for sale. And you set your price, and you get the money back. So we've thought about things like that for making a camp yearbook, and then... rather than us dealing with production and mailing and all of those things, just saying, if you want to buy it, here it is. If you don't want to buy it, here it is.
I think that books have been, I think as much as we, and I enjoy, I definitely enjoy my computer, and I love the outdoors, but then when winter hits, I'm very happy to be looking at pictures and editing them and being in front of my computer. But one of the things I really notice is that, people still really enjoy the hands-on paper, and especially when they're trying to when they're making a connection with their with your camp for the first time. It's very nice to have the video, but if you have something that they can hold and touch, and you can flip through with them, it's pretty powerful. But that would be so neat to also sell it to them, because I think our campers would definitely enjoy that too.
Yeah, we're celebrating 50 years this year as a camp. The decision has been made to have an anniversary book that we'll put together and then let them order it online.
That's nice.
We'll have a few copies at camp, but, you know, we'll let them order it online, and if they want it to get it, they can get it.
And these companies, they make the things look so professional now. I know, you know, a while back they sort of looked cheesy and not great, but now they're the way they're done is pretty sharp.
And I used one of the options for the things, the books within iPhoto, is, I forget what it's called, but there's a tiny book that is, I don't know, maybe 2 inches by 3.5. So about the size, just a little bit bigger than a business card. And I've used those as giveaways for my photography business. And it would be sort of a cool thing to do for camp as well. And that one, their base size, you get 3 of these books for 11 or 12 bucks. Not a piece, total 3 books for 12 bucks.
Yeah.
And so you can sort of add more pages and more numbers, but people love that too. It's the same thing. People just like to get their hands on it.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at the small book right now, soft covered, and it's pretty inexpensive. Basically, $4 is what you're looking at for 20 pages. Right. That's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another place that sells we have our business cards done at moo.com.
Yeah.
And so on the front of my business cards, I chose the small ones. And so I have different pictures on the front of every business card. And I think I have 15 pictures that I work through. But it's much more memorable than just a white card. But then there is, I'm trying to look it up right now, there's one I have saved. And is it Emilio, which is it's a little flip. It has a contact sheet on the front. It's like business card size. So you can see the 20 photos. And then on the front and back of plastic cards, which are all attached at the corner, you can see all of the other photos, all of the photos on the contact sheet. I'll try and get that link up.
Cool.
I think we have going to be 8 or 9 different links for this podcast.
Yeah. We'll have to remember to save
some.
That's
right.
We'll get excited about things. We're like, oh, go check this out. We'll have to make up the sheet for next podcast and be writing as we go.
Yeah.
But I think we're a lot longer than I anticipated, but the conversation was going well, so I decided to just sort of let it go and keep going. So for people who are listening, the sort of thing that we need to know is, if you're all right with this is going to turn out to be a 45 or 50 minute podcast. The one we did before was almost exactly 30 minutes. So people can let me know by sending me a message on Twitter. My Twitter is Zoic, Z-O-I-C. The work Twitter is OurKidsNet. And they can also email me, which is travis@ourkids.net, just to let me know how they feel about it, what they want to know, what they want to hear, things they want us to talk about. And as we get going, we intend to do some interviews with, you know, professional camp people and consultants and people doing really cool stuff in the industry. Because now we're heading into conference season. Gab was saying before she's going to the ACA National, and there's lots of conferences coming up in the next 3 months. So we're all going to take along a recorder and record some interviews for the podcast as well. So thank you to the 3 of you for everything, all these great ideas and the good chat today. Chance for you to quick plug some of your own stuff, camp, your personal stuff, whatever you like. Dan, where can people find out more about you?
Sure. So I blog at danweir.squarespace.com and Twitter at danlovescamp. And I'm going to be presenting at the Northeast YMCA Camp Conference at the end of the month on the title session, What the Internet's Not Evil, and basically going into why kids are on the internet and why we should be embracing it instead of condemning it, and and kind of the mentality of behind that. And then I work for Frost Valley YMCA. So
great, Gabriella, how can we find out about you on the net?
You can go to my website at GabrielleRail.com and find some cool camp stuff there and some neat camp programs and sites to visit. And I'll also be presenting at the Ontario Camping Association Conference at the end of January. And we're going to be talking about how to get staff to come and talk to you. So basically getting their complaints to work in your favor. So we'll be chatting about that. And I work for Camp Oro, so you can always Google us there and check out what we do at that camp.
And if you wouldn't mind, Gab, can you spell Oro again for me?
Yes.
Please?
It's it sounds like Ouaro, but it's OUAREAU.
So it's camporo.com.
That's right.
Beauty. Joe, how about yourself?
Well, you can see the camp I work at by going to campisbetter.com. Life is good. Camp